We return now to our study of the book of 1 John, and we are coming to nearly the end of this book. And this afternoon, we will look at verses 17 of chapter 4 to verse chapter 5, verse 3. So far, the Apostle John has placed the emphasis on Christians loving one another. And this theme of Christian loving one another, loving fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, has been repeated a couple of times. And now, the Apostle turned to a deeper and a far more important aspect of Christian love. And this is a believer's love for God the Father. A believer's love for God the Father. We understand from the teaching of the Apostle John and also the other parts of Scripture that we cannot love our neighbors as, or we cannot love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ with Christian love unless we love our Heavenly Father. Unless we have this relationship with God the Father. We must first love God with all our hearts as believers, then only then can we love our neighbors as ourselves, or to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Our subject this afternoon is love, honor, obey. So the key word in this portion of scripture is the word perfect in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. The God wants us to, or God desires to perfect in us, or to complete in us, the meaning of that word perfect in our AV translation is to complete in us, or to fulfill in us, His love for us and our love for Him. The word perfect carries the idea of maturity, of growing into maturity, or of completeness, as I said just now. A believer is not only to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, as Peter instructs us in 2 Peter 3:18, but a believer is also to grow in his love or her love for God the Father. How does this in response, he does so, the believer does so, growing in love for the Father is actually in response to the Father's love for him. And so the question beckons, how much does God love us? And we know the answer for those of us who are believers. Enough to send His only begotten Son to die for the believers in John 3:16, as we are told. And this morning, in fact, we heard the same message again. Jesus died on the cross for the sinners. He loves His children, or God loves His children in the same way that God loves Christ, His Son. John 17, verse 23. The Lord Jesus tells us also in John 17, 26, that the Father desires the love with which He loves the Son to be in His children. In other words, the Christian life is to be a daily experience of growing in the love of God and growing in our love towards God and growing in our love towards fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It involves a Christian coming to know God, His Heavenly Father, in a much deeper way as he grows in love. Therefore, how can a believer know that his love for God the Father is being perfected? And this is a subject not too difficult for those of us who are believers to understand, isn't it? But in reality, or in practice, we cannot deny the fact that it is difficult. We have a difficulty. As the Apostle John in verse 20 of chapter 4, 1 John says, "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" So we do not deny the fact that we as sinful people, though redeemed and generated by the Holy Spirit, we still have this difficulty loving someone whom we cannot see, cannot touch, cannot feel. And that is a difficulty. But nevertheless, we are commanded to love. And we thank God that He has given us instruction or teachings in the Bible that shows us how we ought to love God and how God Himself is doing this work of perfecting His love for us, the love in us, in our hearts for Him. And so these verses that we are going to look at suggest to us four evidences that a believer may know or understand that his love for God the Father is being perfected. And so the first evidence is this: confidence. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so we are in this world. Two brand new words come into the apostle's vocabulary here. In verse 18, and that two words are fear and torment. And that is written to believers. So you may be surprised to look at it and understand and see that it is possible. Or you may ask the question, is it possible for a Christian, that a Christian actually live in fear and torment? Yes. Sadly, there are many professed believers experience both fear and torment day in and day out. And the reason is that they are not growing in the love of God. Or the reason could be they are, in the very first place, not a Christian. They have not experienced or went through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Looking at the word boldness in verse 17, boldness can mean confidence or freedom of speech. It does not mean brashness or brazenness. A believer who experiences perfecting love grows in his or her confidence towards God the Father. He has a reverential fear of God, a respectful fear of God, not a tormenting fear of God. He is a son of God. She is a daughter of God who respects his father, not a prisoner who cringes before a judge. We have actually adopted the Greek word for fear into our English vocabulary. And therefore, we have this word called phobia. And we have all kinds of phobia. Or rather, some people have all kinds of phobia. You have acrophobia, fear of height. Hydrophobia, fear of water. But here, the Apostle John is writing about another kind of fear. It is called in Greek, chrysis or chrysophobia. We can combine the two words. And that means the word, I pronounced it wrongly, is chrysophobia, fear of judgment. Mentioned in 1 John 2:28 and 1 John 4:7. 17. If people are afraid, it is because of something happened in the past that haunts them, or something in the present that upset them, or something in the future that they fear threatens them, and that is why they are afraid or have this fear. Or it may be a combination of these three. A believer in Jesus Christ does not have to fear the past, does not have to fear the present and the future. Why? Because he or she has experienced the love of God. And this love is being perfected in him or her day by day through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But for a believer, for a Christian, he does not need to fear future judgment because Christ, his Lord, his Savior, has suffered for him or paid the penalty for him on the cross. And so, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him or believeth on him that sent me an everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Romans 8:1, the Apostle Paul says, there is therefore no condemnation to who? To them which are in Christ Jesus. So therefore, if you are a truly born-again Christian, a genuine believer, for a Christian, judgment is not future, it is past. His sin or your sin has been judged already at the cross, and they will never be brought up again against you again on the day of judgment. The reason Christian is bold or have this boldness is because as he is, so we are in the world. Because as he is, so we are in the world. Verse 17. We know that we, the believers, shall be like him when Christ returns. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 2. But this statement here refers primarily to the glorified bodies believers will receive. As we read in Philippians 3:20 to 21. However, positionally, we are right now, at the moment, as believers, as Christ is, as he is, we are so closely identified with the Lord Jesus as members of his body that our position in this world is like his exalted position in heaven. This means that the Father, God the Father, deals with us as he deals with his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, there is no fear in love if you are in this love relationship with God the Father as a believer. We do not have to be afraid of the future because our sins were judged in Christ when he died and paid the penalty of our sin on the cross. The Father cannot judge our sins again without judging his Son. For as he is, so we are in this world. Fear is actually the beginning of torment. We torment ourselves as we contemplate what lies ahead. But since a Christian has boldness in the day of judgment, as he faces life today, for there is no situation of life today that begins to compare with the terrible severity of the day of judgment. God desires us, his children, to live in an atmosphere of love, confidence, not fear, not torment. We need not fear life or death, for we are being perfected in the love of God. Paul, the apostle, reminds us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then Paul answered this question that he asked in verse 37 to 39 of Romans 8. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conqueror through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, if you are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit, if you are truly a believer in Christ through the Holy Spirit, then therefore you have no fear. And therefore you can be assured that nothing will sever that love relationship you have with God. For those who are in union with Christ through God the Holy Spirit, there is nothing in all creation, present or future, can come between you and God's love. And I trust that this will be of great comfort and encouragement to those of you who are in Christ. The perfecting of God's love in your life as a believer is usually a matter of several stages. Like, or when we were lost, or not the believer, we lived in fear and knew nothing of God's love. After we trusted Christ by faith, we found a perplexing mixture of both fear and love in our hearts. But as we grow in fellowship and communion with God, as we grow in spiritual maturity, gradually the fear vanished and our hearts were influenced by God's love alone. An immature Christian, on the other hand, is tossed between fear and love. A mature Christian rests in God's love. A growing confidence in the presence of God is one of the first evidences that our love for God is maturing. But confidence never stands alone. It always leads to other moral results. So we move on, or we come to right now, the second evidence that a believer knows that his love for God is being perfected. And the second evidence is truthfulness or honesty. Look at verse 20 and 21. If a man say that I love God and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he can have seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And by the way, brethren, this is the seventh time the Apostle John is using this phrase. We have met this important phrase several times, and each time we knew that it indicates a warning against pretending. If a man say, that is the phrase that the Apostle is repeating. If a man say, or if you profess or confess, fear and pretense usually go together. In fact, they were both born together when the first man and woman or woman sinned. No sooner did Adam and Eve sense their guilt than they tried to hide from God and cover their nakedness. But neither their coverings nor their excuses could shelter them from God's all-searching and seeing eye. And Adam finally had to admit, I hear thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. But when our hearts are confident toward God through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, there is no need for us to pretend, either to God or to any other people or to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. A Christian who lacks confidence with God will also lack confidence with God's people. And we will start to pretend and put on a show. Perhaps the best example of this sin of pretense or this sin of hypocrisy is seen in the experience of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They sold a piece of property and brought part of the money to the Lord through the apostle. But they gave the impression that they were bringing all the money that they had. The sin of this couple, we must take note, is not in taking the money from God. For Peter, the apostle, make it very clear that the disposal of the money was up to them. Acts 5 verse 4 tells us that. So their sin was hypocrisy. They were trying to give an impression that they were more generous and spiritual than they really were. So you see, brethren, spiritual honesty or truthfulness brings peace and confidence to the person who practices it. He does not or she does not need or have to keep a record of the lies that he has told. And he is not using his energy to cover up the lie because he lives in open honesty and truthfulness with God. And so he can live with true honesty and truthfulness with other people. Love and truth go together. Because he knows God, loves him and accepts him, even with all his faults and failings, yet he is not trying to impress others. He loves God, therefore he loves his fellow Christians. Confidence towards God and honesty and truthfulness with others are two distinct marks of Christian maturity that are bound to show up as time goes by when our love for God is being perfected. We come right now to the third evidence a believer knows that his love for God the Father is being perfected. The third evidence is joyful obedience. Joyful obedience. Look at verse 1 to 3 of chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him, or loves Christ that begat, loveth him, or loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So here we are instructed, it's not simply obedience, but joyful obedience. Therefore, we know or see this in our children, and they need to learn that it is not simply obedience to the instruction and of the father and mother out of fear, but out of love. It is a joyful obedience. Why? Because Apostle John tells us that God's commandments are not grievous. You see, everything in creation except man obeys the will of God. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfill his word. We read this in Psalm 148 verse 8. And then if you look at the book of Jonah, in the book of Jonah, you see, what do you see? You see winds, waves, and even that fish obeying God's command. But the prophet is the one that persisted in disobeying God. And then later on, in that book of Jonah, we read that even a plant and a little worm did what God commanded. But the prophet stubbornly wanted his own way. So the point is, disobedience to God's will is a grievous, but to God's will is grievous, but so is a reluctant, grudging obedience. God does not want us to disobey, but neither does he want us to obey out of fear or out of necessity. what Paul the Apostle wrote about giving to the Lord in our offering, giving also applies to living. Paul says, not grudgingly or of necessity. The word necessity can be translated as compulsion. For God loveth or loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So what is the basis of joyful obedience? It is to recognize that obedience is a matter of the heart. The heart. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the will. We are worshiping and serving a loving God and helping or ministering to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been born of God. We love God and therefore we love God's children. And we demonstrate this love by keeping God's commandment. Now, I just want to point this out very quickly to all of us, that it is what the Apostle John here is writing to believers. Therefore, in verse 2, when he says, by this we know that we love the children of God, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandment. So he is writing to believers. So the teaching here is not obeying God in order to obtain salvation or to improve on your salvation. It is right now he is writing to believers who are born again, already a believer. Now as a believer, I keep the commandments of God or I love God by keeping His commandment out of my gratitude to Him for what He has done for me on the cross of Calvary. Take note of this. So I am not teaching here salvation by obeying God's law. You are justified in Christ once and for all. But now as a truly born again believer, how are you to live your life? How do you manifest or in response to God's love for you? You love God by keeping His commandments as a believer in gratitude to the Lord for what He has done for you on the finished work on the cross. D.L. Moody often said this, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. And by this, he is trying to say or tell us that we show our love to God not by empty words, but by hard works. Hard as in H-E-A-R-T, dash works. We are not slaves obeying a master. We are children obeying a father. And our sin is a family sin when we sin against God. One of the tests of maturing love is our personal attitude towards the Bible, the Word of God. Why? Because in the Bible, we find God's will or God's purpose or God's command for our lives revealed. God shows us His will for the believers and how to live their life as revealed in Scripture, as revealed in the Bible. An unsaved man or woman, an unsaved person, a non-believer, consider the Bible an impossible book mainly because he does not understand its spiritual message. As what Paul says, that it can only be spiritually discerned in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. An immature Christian consider the demands of the Bible to be burdensome. He is somewhat like the little child who is learning to obey. And he will often ask, why do I have to do that? Or why wouldn't it be better to do it this way or that way? But a Christian who experiences God's perfecting love finds him or herself enjoying or delighting the Word of God and truly loving it. He does not or she does not read the Bible as a textbook, but like the psalmist, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he or does he meditate day and night. Psalm 1 verse 2. So most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, we do not consider God's law a source of joyful song, isn't it? But this is the way the psalmist looked at the laws of God. Because he loved the Lord, he loved God's law. God's command were not grievous and burdensome to him or her. Just as a loving son or a loving daughter happily and willingly obey his or her father's instruction or her mother's instruction, so a Christian with perfecting love joyfully, willingly, humbly obey God's command. Brethren, in our short meditation this afternoon, as you can see, as your love for God matures, your confidence in the Lord Jesus also increases, and you no longer afraid of God's will, of doing God's will. At the same time, you are also truthful, honest towards God, and also towards fellow believers and others, and you will lose your fear of being rejected. And you have a new attitude towards God's law. It is an expression of God's love, and you enjoy right now obeying God's law out of love, not out of compulsion, not out of fear of punishment. Confidence towards God, honesty towards others, joyful obedience are the marks of perfecting love and the ingredients that make a blessed or a happy Christian life. Conversely, when you and I disobey God, we lose our confidence towards God. If we do not immediately confess our sin or try to hide our sin and do not seek God's forgiveness, as according to the promise in 1 John 1:9, we as believers must start pretending in order to cover up, just like Adam and Eve. This obedience leads to dishonesty, and both turn our hearts away from the Word of God. Instead of reading the Word of God with joy to discover God's will for our life, we ignore the Word of God, or perhaps we treat the Word of God very lightly. The yoke that the Lord Jesus puts on each one of us, the believers, is not burdensome at all. As the verse, as Jesus says in Matthew 28-30, that his yoke is light. Love lightens burden. Jacob had to work for 7 years to win the woman he loved. But did you notice in the Bible, in Genesis 29, verse 20, what did the Bible tells us concerning Jacob, who worked so hard for 7 years to win the woman of his love? The Bible in Genesis 29:20 tells us, they seem unto him a few days for the love he had to her. You see, perfecting love produces joyful obedience. Perfecting love will be able to endure all the hardship, all the whatever inconveniences. Never mind about it. Perfecting love produces joyful obedience. And so, brethren, may the Lord help us through his Holy Spirit. And may this be our daily prayer, that we pray for God the Holy Spirit to infuse us with more of Christ's love, so that we can, in turn, love God more and more, love God's laws and commandments, to delight in them, to obey out of our love for him, and to love one another in the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to write this, thy truth, upon our hearts. We confess, Heavenly Father, that we have not loved you as we ought. And we confess also that we have not loved one another in the Lord as we ought. Often, Lord, we are so cold towards thee. Often, Lord, we are so cold towards one another. We have very little care or concern for one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. O gracious loving Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to do this work in our hearts, to continue to sanctify us, thy people, to continue to fill us with the love of God. For Lord, it is not we who first love you. It is you who first love us and gave us your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the propitiation for our sins. Yes, Lord, in and of ourselves, we will not be able to generate and produce such love like the Lord Jesus, the love of Christ. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us more and more with the love of Christ, that we may love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and even to love our enemies as you have commanded, to pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us, that you may help us, fill us with the love of Christ, that we may also, like Christ, forgive the wrong that others have done to us, the hurt that others have done to us, and also to remember them no more, that we will not bring it up again, just as you remember our sins no more. Just as you have removed our sins from the east to the west, O Father, we pray that thou will work in our hearts and fill our hearts with such love. And so, Lord, in the new week ahead, we ask that your presence will be with us, that you will fill your people with your peace and the joy of the Lord. That, Lord, your peace and joy will rest upon the hearts of every one of your children. And that, Lord, you may go before us and go with us and help us in this new week, that we may live our lives that is pleasing in your sight, that glorifies thy holy name, at our place of work, at home, even at our place of recreation, in our time of recreation and leisure, that, Lord, we will not shame the name of Christ, that we may lift up the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as light of the world, salt of the earth. Help us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.